Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked will I depart, or I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. You come into this world with nothing. You're going to leave with nothing. And no matter how much money you have in your bank account right now, when you die, you're done. So I went through the Bible and I was looking for stories, and this particular story jumped out at me. And what jumped out of me, if you look down in here, and I believe it's verse 8, it says, she did what she could. You see, we live in a society that people expect so much out of us. You know, we have this whole thing, your best life ever. And you look online and you see these women who are making these amazing quilts or amazing dishes, and you think, why can't my wife be like that, or why can't I be like that? And you begin to think that these people have got it all together. I know from time to time people will tell me about something they've seen on Facebook, and I tell them, you need to watch these people. You need to watch them closely, because I have watched them pose for hours to get that one shot. Have you ever seen that? I watched it the other day when I was at the airport. These two girls must have taken 50 pictures before they posted one. And they wanted everybody to think their life is perfect. Well, I'm going to tell you this, life is hard, and it's very hard for women today, because you're expected to be a great mother, you're expected to be a great wife, you're expected to be a great employee, you're expected to have everything in its place. And here is a woman that Jesus says she did what she could. And look at what it says a little bit later on. I tell you the truth, whenever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. Now, one of the things that we're doing as a church is we're doing life groups, and one of the things we do in our Bible studies is we're trying to look at passages and learn how to study the Bible for ourselves. And one of the things that I always do whenever I read a Bible passage is I try to find out who I am in the story. Because every time there's a Bible passage, if you look at it closely, you will see yourself in the story. At least most of the time you will. And in this particular story, it was to the religious leaders. He was a threat to be contained. To the unnamed woman, he was a lord to be extravagantly worshipped. To the disciples, he was a leader to be followed. To Judas, he was a disappointment to be betrayed. And in every Bible story, we can see ourselves in some way. And today, women, I would like for you to see yourself as a woman who did what she could. Not what she couldn't do, not the impossible, not the amazing, but she did what she could. If you look at this, what did she do? Number one, her worship was unrestrained. Her worship was unrestrained. I know I restrain my worship from time to time. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I do, because I found out one time they messed up in the sound booth, and it's a very difficult thing to control all that, but normally I used to leave my mic on during worship, and then when I came up, they would turn it on, but now I mute my mic, because I found out from a friend of mine that one day they muted my mic in here, but they didn't mute it online, and my voice singing went across the internet. We lost a lot of people that day. And so now, before I get up to preach, I'll turn my mic on so that no one ever has to hear my singing except for Nancy, and I think she's going on deaf on that side of her face. So it doesn't bother her anymore. But her worship was under strain. She didn't worry about the financial cost. She didn't worry about the financial cost. I know a lot of us come in here on Sunday morning, and I cannot tell you the number of times that people say, all the church ever talks about is money. That's what they think. I have heard that over and over and over again. I had a friend I was talking to not too long ago, and she was trying to get her husband to come to church, and one of the things that every time he came to church, the preacher talked about raising money. And in his particular case, I guess that's all he ever heard. But there is a financial cost to worshiping Jesus. For when you worship, it costs you financially. If it doesn't cost you financially, it's not true worship. The second thing, she didn't worry about social costs. And a lot of times when it comes to worship, you wonder what other people think. I know that most of you in here are like me. You like to watch and see what other people are doing. Amen. How many of you in here will from time to time, like let's just say you're at an airport like I was this past week, and you just sit there and you watch people in amazement? I do that all the time. Sometimes what I do is when I'm sitting there and I'm watching people, I make up stories about them. This is how I keep my mind going. I'll see somebody. There's a group of people that were, you know, the moving sidewalks in the airport? Where you get on and you walk and you get further along. Well, there was a group of three people, and they got on the moving sidewalk and they stood together in a conversation so nobody could get by them. And I made up a whole story about them. I'm not going to tell you about it, but I made up a whole story about them and what was wrong with them. But sometimes when we worship, there's a social cost. I'll never forget a young lady who had heard a sermon, and something in the sermon had touched her, and during the invitation song, she came down front crying, and she was not accustomed to what we do in the church in terms of coming forward and asking for prayers, and all she knew to do was to come down and get on her knees and lay her head on the steps and weep. And I'll never forget leaving that day, and somebody looked at me and said, "What was that all about, Neil?" And I said, "That's what true repentance looks like." You see, when you truly worship, there is a social cost. Let her see she didn't worry about the emotional cost. I know from time to time people will notice while I'm preaching or even sometimes while I'm singing, I get emotional because of what the words of the song will do or the story that I'm telling or the scripture that I'm reading. I get emotional about these things. And there's several times, I'm going to tell you on Sunday afternoon, it is all I can do to get through life group. It's all I can do to get through lunch because I need a nap. And it's because of the emotional cost that there is. And when you truly worship God for who He is and you see God for who He is and you understand what God has done for us through the gift of His Son, it is emotional. So there's that emotional cost. The second thing she did is her heart was sensitive to Jesus. Her heart was sensitive to Jesus. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial, is what the scripture says. And the idea behind that is she was sensitive to what was going on with Jesus. And a lot of us today, we're not sensitive to what's going on with Jesus and what's going on. His heart for the world is not always our heart for the world. We're sensitive to what we want, what we need, but we're not sensitive to the needs of others. I know that from time to time, people get critical of me. I quit wearing a tie at COVID. I did. I just decided, what's the point of wearing a tie if the only person going to see me is Joel? Joel, I love you, brother, but you're not worth it. And I quit wearing that tie, and I've had a couple of people that have said, "Neil, why aren't you wearing a tie on Sunday morning?" And I said, because, you know, when people see me out in the world during the week, I'm not wearing a tie. And if they see me on Sunday morning wearing a tie, and I'm out in the world and they see me, guess what? They don't recognize me anymore. So I'm going to dress like I dress every day. Usually it's not this nice, but okay. But here's the thing. We need to understand and we need to be sensitive to Jesus and what his desire is. And Jesus' desire is for us to do things to go out and to reach the world. The third thing was, is her worship affected others. And I don't know whether you recognize this or not, but I think a lot of times we forget the fact that when we worship, our worship affects the person next to us. I can tell you right now that when I am listening to children sing, like when we do up here, when it affects how I worship. We've got SunQuest coming up for our teens, and I've been going to SunQuest so long that when it got started, it was called AOK. That's how long ago it's been. James Moore and I are the only ones that have been going for that long, and we both have one foot in a grave and one foot on a banana peel. But one of the reasons why I go is not necessarily for the great messages, however the messages are great, but one of the main reasons I go is I'm moved by the singing. When you have that many young people who have the right heart singing with all of their might, it moves you spiritually. Letter A is some of her worship was pleasant to some. It was pleasant to some, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Letter B, it was perplexing to some. And I think about all the good things that they're thinking about, all the good things that could have been done with this money. And I think sometimes we do that too. We're perplexed by the fact that people are giving money to the church, and sometimes large sums. Why would they do that? And it's because they're trying to honor and worship Jesus. And finally, it was pleasing to Christ. She has done a beautiful thing to me. Her gift showed three things. Letter A, everything comes from God and belongs to God. Everything comes from God and belongs to God. Nancy and I just recently upped our contribution, and one of the things we decided that we were going to do with our contribution is we were going to give sacrificially. That means we're going to have to cut out some of the things that we've been doing, and we're not going to be able to do all the things we used to do. But we recognize that everything we have belongs to God and comes from God. And when you recognize that, your worship means more. It says in Job chapter 1, 20 through 21, at this Job got up and tore his robes and shaved his head, and then he fell to the ground and he said these words, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked will I depart," or "I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." You come into this world with nothing, you're going to leave with nothing. And no matter how much money you have in your bank account right now, when you die, you're done. Don't be like so many people who get all their can all they get, and then sit on their can. And you'll get that when you get home. Letter B, our gift to God flows out of our gratitude to Him. John chapter 11, verse 32. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw Him, she fell at His feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." The same people that have saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead are now preparing him for his death. And letter C, our gift should cost us something. Our gifts should cost us something. in 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 24, but the king replied, "No, I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen and paid 50 shekels of silver for them. So, there you have it. She did what she could. This morning we're going to do something a little different. One of the things that I have been researching is people's attention spans. And believe it or not, you guys have the attention span of a goldfish. It's not very long. If you don't believe me, try to get a goldfish's attention this afternoon. But one of the things in this attention and trying to hold people's attention is they need to experience worship as much as they need to be in worship. And so we're going to do something a little different today, and it happened because of something that happened to me as I was traveling this week. I got on a plane. It had been delayed. I was flying from Spokane, Washington to Denver, and then from Denver to Tampa. And the plane was delayed. First time they told me it was going to be delayed 3 hours, and I'm like, oh my goodness, that's a long time to be delayed. I'm never getting home. And then it found out it was only an hour and 30 minutes. There was bad weather in Denver. So I got on the plane in Denver, or in Spokane, and made it to Denver finally. And we get to Denver, because the weather was bad there, all the planes were delayed, so I wasn't missing my flight. I was kind of looking forward to spending the night in Denver in the airport, but didn't get to. So that plane was 2 hours late from when it was supposed to go. And I got on the plane and I found a seat, and I found a seat kind of up front because I wanted to get off that plane as soon as it landed in Tampa because I was tired of being on planes. And as I sat there, I watched other people get on board, and we were all, you could just tell everybody on the plane was exhausted. And I watched this young mother, and she had one of these things on that you carry the baby. And couldn't really see the baby, but as soon as she got on the plane, that baby started crying. And she sat right behind me. And I thought to myself, of all the places she could sit, I am so glad she sat behind me. And I meant that. And the reason why I meant that is because a crying baby is not going to bother me, because I love babies. And as the plane rolled back from the runway and got ready to take off, that baby got louder and louder. And I didn't know what to say, and I didn't know what to do, and I didn't want to make things worse, so I just sat there. And as the plane took off, the baby started to quiet down. And as the baby started to quiet down, I listened. And I listened to the mother saying to this baby, "Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me." And that baby fell asleep to those words. After I heard her sing that and the plane landed, I stood up and told her what a great mother she was. Not just because she remained calm in a stressful situation, but because she was singing the song that every child needs to hear from their mother. "Jesus loves me, this I know." And so today, for our invitation, I'm going to ask us to do something totally unusual. But bear with me, because this is going to be a moment that somebody in this room needs. You see, as I was listening to this woman sing to her baby, and a beautiful little girl with blue eyes like you wouldn't believe, I realized there are a lot of people in this room that have never heard a mother's voice sing Jesus Loves Me. And so today, by way of invitation, what I'd like to do, and men, I know this is going to be hard on you, but what I'd like to do today is I would like for all the women to sing Jesus Loves Me. And I would like for the women to sing that for all the children of the world that never heard a mother's voice sing that song. Could we put up the slide, please? Ladies, Jesus.
Everyone.
Jesus.